We're keeping tabs on the Falcons, who are practicing up in Indy, actually, at their practice facility. It's actually north, like Flowery Branch of Indianapolis. But joint practice number one. And I mentioned to you, according to our friends up there, Daniel Flick, Will McFadden, there's a bunch of people up there who cover the Falcons. I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but I'm just giving it to you as it's being reported. So Falcons first team offense, Mike, had a drive that went to a sack. Don't know where that came from, but again, we told you they're not touching them. But if he's holding the ball,
the refs, even if he's able to extend the play, they'll blow the whistle. They'll know, and they've used NFL officials for these scrimmages. So, in other words, he would have been perceived to be sacked.
Bijan, carry, tackle for loss.
Okay. Well, all right. It's always darkest for the dawn. What happened on the third down? Obviously, we bounce back. Tua makes a big play.
Tua fumbled the snap.
Say again. Tua
has butterfingers.
He did what?
The next drive, he fumbled the snap. Next drive, all right, ended with Tua throwing a jump ball to Drake London, who went up and grabbed a 50-50 ball. But that's not uncommon. Drake does that. But you get highs and lows. And this is what we're going to expect. You're going to get some of this. I don't think at all you shouldn't expect it to be all be perfect. But this is the work we need to get, man. And so not – at least the first drive. Not what you would want to see. I would want to see Tua completion, Mike. Bijan carries for 10 yards, right, and then a touchdown throw. That's what you're hoping. But again, these are real. This is situational football. So you're getting, their defense is getting work. Our offense is getting work. But it gets back to the offensive line. And look, forget about the Tua fumbled snap. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But man, if we're not able to protect, this is going to be a problem. And it doesn't matter who's going to be back there. So it's funny. Day-Day said to me in the break, Mike, he said, look, very serious voice, Penix has got to get cleared after this week. And I said, this is the only way that I think as the team and the organization, you could feel good about moving into the season. What is it, 3 weeks after this weekend? That you could feel good about, hey, we're giving him an opportunity to go ahead. And you'd probably see him in that third preseason game also. But he's got to get cleared.
Yeah, I posted a video that was reposted from up there at Indianapolis. I said, please, doctors, can we clear this guy? Because, you know, and this is something, you know, when we go off and I'm arguing with some folks about, you know, Penix and what he is or what he isn't. We have never, ever this summer said he doesn't look ready. I mean, he's looked ready.
I said it to his face.
Yes, and we actually had an interview where we were like his two hype men trying to pump him up to say something declarative, like, yes, it's my job, I'll be back out there. And we couldn't get that to happen. But Penix to Drummond, D-Led posted that. Thanks, Mike and Carl. One-on-ones. But he just drops a dime. The stuff that you saw at Washington that made you say, okay, I'm excited about him getting drafted by the Falcons. So can't wait till we get him cleared. Some good and some bad, but in the 7-on-7, he's putting the ball where it needs to be.
All right, and remember, he's not playing 11-on-11, so he's doing what he needs to do in those drills. More on the Falcons coming up. Also, we'll find out what Mike has in Guy Talk a little bit later on this hour. And Grant's going to join us as the Braves are finishing up their series as we speak, and we'll talk more about that in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, though, we got to talk some dogs.
Tua Tagovailoa
has butterfingers.
Look, you might not make the read. You might not get the right throw. You cannot fumble snaps. And that, well, Day-Day, you said it. That was what was so frustrating in preseason game number one, where that happens in that first year, and you're like, oh, come on. Those are just fundamental, simple things. Either way. All right. Hey,
and this is a team that gave up the 23rd most yards last year. The Colts defense. So, I mean, you know, there's some things they do well. Like us, I mean, sometimes it doesn't tell the whole side of the story. Ulbrich's guys, we got after the quarterback, but you said it. We couldn't stop the run. Yep. And how much better are we going to be on that this year?
All right. Switching gears, guys. We talked to our buddy Connor Riley yesterday. Tomorrow, by the way, Mike Griffith will join us to keep us updated on what's going on with the Dogs, and we're getting ready for the upcoming season. Kirby, today, speaking to the media, I want you to hear what he said about Gunnar Stockton. And apparently, Mike, he's very pleased with what he's seeing.
Yeah, Gunner's improved immensely. I don't think it's in one area. I don't think it's I think it's confidence. I think it's his mental capacity to handle a lot of information at once, process that information, and yet still make good decisions. Confidence in the pocket, his movement skills in the pocket have improved. His awareness of protections have improved. His ability to handle the pressure of the shot clock, a nine-word call, the defenses we're throwing at him, and getting people lined up has improved. But he's done some good things this camp. You can see his growth kind of in a lot of areas because some of it's leadership, some of it's mentorship, and some of it's just throwing ability and getting the ball downfield. So pleased with Gunner's growth and really pleased with his work ethic.
Something you and I have talked about a lot of this year is him, you know, as you like to say, pull. You know, pull. Let it rip.
Yeah.
And not be afraid to, you know, okay. Like, I'm not saying go Carson Beck where you're like, bah! You know, like you did in those Alabama games. But you've got to be able to have the confidence to go downfield and use your weapons. And Bobo's got to instill that confidence in him. And that's something I think you take if you read between the lines with Kirby, that maybe that is coming, where if they're going to win, he's going to have to make some high-risk throws. Yeah. He's going to have to throw in some tight windows.
I think...
Which you know we can do.
Oh, yeah. I think Bobo has said, and other assistant coaches have talked about this over the last few weeks since the Dogs got on the field, Bobo's intent is to be more aggressive this year. So when I say that, more aggressive play calling. Is the execution going to be there? That I don't know. But this is the part, Mike, where... you know, Gunner is back to pass. The play has been called, and it's a throw downfield, but it's not executed. And then Dog fans go, why isn't he throwing it downfield? There's an execution part of this. So I hope that Bobo, and we're talking about Mike Bobo, the offensive coordinator, is going to be more aggressive. I think that's a big part. You got to challenge these defenses, man, and you cannot be timid.
Right.
And in the way that you approach some of these defenses, you can respect them, but man, I think you got to try to take the top off of some of these defenses.
But again, you know, when it mattered most and the Sugar Bowls the last 2 years down there, does Kirby meddle with the offense? Is it Bobo's with autonomy? I mean, we talked to Rusty Manziel about this. Connor, I mean, there's nothing gets done without Kirby's approval. And, you know, the idea to be aggressive against Notre Dame when it called go the other way in Gunner's second start or first start, second appearance. And then
you say Kirby signed off on that?
I think Kirby signs off on that. Yeah. I guess. I can't. Kirby is involved in every aspect. That's what we've been told, led to believe. I believe it. But last year, you know, a 9-point lead, really having a chance to really go for the jugular against Ole Miss, and you decided to play conservative. So I don't think that comes from Bobo. You know, because Bobo, we always yell, Bobo, run the damn ball. To me, that comes from Kirby Smart.
It's a good point. Meanwhile, his son, Drew Bobo, is a really good center, guys. And this was a different team without him. The initial reports was a finger injury at practice. And Kirby said, here's the update.
He practiced yesterday all day, took every rep. So he's great.
He's great. Okay, so maybe that was an over-exaggeration. Kirby's like, no big deal. Drew Bobo's finger, not a problem. He also talked about Cole Spear. Mike, we brought this up. Is he back with the team? Is he not back with the team?
Well, Kirby Smart was asked about this because of the NCAA, and they're fighting this, by the way, in court when they had that other court that ruled that 2022 class signees were granted a fifth year of eligibility. That's an injunction in Colorado, and the NCAA is appealing it. So Kirby says that he wouldn't want to make any assumptions right now with the NCAA, but this guy was a big special team player, blocked a punt in last year's SEC championship game, and they're having conversations. Rusty Manziel first reported this, by the way.
Yes, he did.
That Spear was back in the mix with the UGA.
Here's Kirby's comments today after being asked about Cole Spear.
Well, there's a lot of assumptions in what you just said. So I wouldn't make any assumptions right now with the NCAA and the rulings and the things going on. So he is not officially back with the team. We've had conversations with he and a lot of guys, but nothing's official yet.
Okay.
105 limit for players, but that may change too with these. If the NCAA doesn't get the ruling they're looking for, you'll have to make room for these guys that have the eligibility, I presume.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, can he help them? Obviously, they think he can.
Special teamer.
Yes. Yeah, you know. So, I mean, that's part of this discussion. But again, we'll see. Kirby's like, don't jump the gun. And what about the wide receiver room? Look, it's one thing for Gunner Stockton to be making these throws down the field. It's one of my big question marks going into the season. First of all, can't lead the league in drops, okay? That happened a couple of years ago when Beck was quarterback. Also, you got to have guys that are explosive and can make plays down the field. Here's what Kirby's assessment is of the wide receiver room.
Yeah, they work tremendously hard each day. I think they've had a good camp as a group. The quarterbacks and the O-line a lot of times will make your receivers. So there's not – you know, receivers don't get to just go out and have success on their own. They have to have a lot of things happen to have the success they want to have. They have to take advantage of opportunities they give, and they have to go against good people in competition. But it's more than just them in order to have a success. But if you said, am I pleased with their work habits and what they're doing? Absolutely, I am. I wouldn't say anybody in the room is dominating by any means. There's young players that are coming on fast, and by young, I mean first and second year, and then there's older players who are leading well and doing a tremendous job for us. So very pleased in that room.
Okay. All right. Okay. Isaiah Canyon came over from Tech. Yep. We all talked about the tight ends. Who was it? Mike Griffith really likes Jaden Riddell backing up Lawson Lucky at tight end.
Yep.
But are you going to get the playmakers? Because you could argue that just strictly looking at what you lost with Zachariah Branch and some of the other guys who moved on, he's saying no one's really has taken it to where he's, okay, this guy's wowing. Would he even say it they were?
No, I don't know if he would.
I don't know if he
would. Would he even give you that info?
The tight end room is supposed to be good. We know that.
Right.
It's the guys on the outside. The difference makers, right? I mean, Lucky Lawson, he should have a great season. The tight end room should be good. But I don't know, Mike, you bring up a great point. I don't know if he would say, oh, my God.
Right. Kirby's going to say, guys, we just, like the old Jim Donnan, two words, man, Charles Grant. No, Kirby's never going to do that. He's remember that day-to-day? He's never going to do that. And you talked earlier about the money. We're talking about the perception is, Georgia is getting somehow, like they're in the right lane, and everybody's just foom, 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 down the college interstate, right, going for the big money. But they're spending, Carl, just under the top tier. Should that bother Georgia fans? They're not in the top tier?
No.
He runs it how he runs it, $40 million plus. Recent article by Chris Hummer and John Talty saying that there's a level and there's Texas money and there's Oklahoma and Texas Tech and then there's other schools like where Georgia is below that.
Yeah, I don't think you should frown upon that because you still got the best coach in college football. So, I'm not saying Kirby's doing more with less. Let's not fool ourselves. They're loaded, okay? Go look at the five stars and the fours and all the talent that they brought in, and they're not even living in the portal. Right? He's still doing it in a way that a lot of coaches are not at this point. I think it's okay, Mike. I just, it's like your budget. Do you spend smartly or do you just blow it? And that's how I think Kirby's going about it. There are some schools that are just spending and they're getting no dividends, no returns. Kirby's spending like this, but he's not overspending in areas and they're still getting return.
Right. And, look, you had a big-time quarterback that had a tie to Nashville who decides to go to Vanderbilt. That upset some dog fans, but everyone likes Puglisi. I think, the thing is Puglisi's going to have to wait his turn. Kirby definitely does have, there's the pecking order, and the guy who's got the experience is the guy. Not a knock on Gunner. We already talked about what he's capable of. But it just seems like you and I, and this is just us, style points, I don't know, but that superstar Heisman Trophy guy that everybody's after that is just like the rock star difference maker.
Yeah.
The guy that extends plays, the guy that can do it all.
Yeah, the Caleb Williams, the Jaden Daniels, like those guys that were in school that, and I'm not saying they did go after Caleb Williams. I mean, all this stuff came out, but they've not been able to close those deals. And that's what you're talking about.
They had Justin Fields, and it just, for whatever reason, it just never happened for him in Athens. Some of that was also in a very, I don't know, maybe not open-minded offensive mind at the time. But anyway, getting back to Georgia, they'll be fine. Schedule's not as of a beast as it has been in the past. Connor Riley brought that up the other day.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that maybe you reassess with the way this playoff works now that Georgia, for some reason, has been slow out of the gate coming off the bye or the extra extended time in December. You want to have a home game in Athens?
That means you probably
either didn't make or lost the SEC championship game.
Now, again, Kirby would say that's disappointing because his goal is to win it every year as long as it's they're playing it. But I'd love it. I think it may even give them an advantage that they haven't had in recent years.
And by the way, Tech fans, in case you're like, yeah, it's Georgia. Well, we did talk a lot of Tech last hour. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. We were talking about what they're doing. Not to mention, good things being said about the quarterback from a coach who wish he still had him.
All right, guys, more to get to. A Falcon update coming for you. And some people are already picking us to lose in week one. I know we're the underdogs because we're on the road in Pittsburgh, but we'll get into that a little bit. And a scenario for all of you quarterback heads out there who are saying he has to be the starter. We'll lay it out for you coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're keeping tabs on what's going on up there in Indy. It is a joint practice for our Falcons, day one. They'll do it again tomorrow. And then, of course, Saturday, they will play their second preseason game. Coming up, we'll find out what's going on with Guy Talk. But, Mike, what is the latest?
All right, starting with our buddy Daniel Flick from the AJC. He says he'd give the Colts defense a solid edge over the Falcons offense today. He writes, aside from Drake London's big play, been tough sledding for Atlanta. Few sacks, pressures, TFLs. Falcons have had hit a few good runs.
Okay.
But let's get from the veteran source, D-Led from Bowtie Sports. D-Led says, Brandon Dawlins and Colts guard Quentin Nelson just had a major battle one-on-ones, and Nelson's a beast. Dawlins held his own. Falcons won their share.
Leota later.
And if I could just day-day give a plug, Bowtie Sports, it's a tremendous value, $27.99. Exclusive content.
Netflix prices, D-Led. What are you talking
videos,
about?
Podcast access. Support independent coverage. BowtieSports.com.
These bow ties ain't cheap, huh, D-Lib?
Darn right.
Well, you know what? He said to us, we were a big kid, and I was like, D, what you charge? He was like, regular price. He was like, $80.
I put the legwork in. I had to save money on this flight to Indy. I UPS myself in a box. Poked some holes. Had some Chex Mix. So get on it, Bowtie Sports. But
he's going to expense that, by the way. He's going to expense that.
Great way to fly on a budget.
But look,
it was hard to staple myself in.
We expect big things from Dorless, though, man. He was a baller last year.
He's that dude. And D-Led also goes on to talk about what you mentioned earlier. You saw, apparently, Tua missed the snap again. No, it was commented on earlier. I mean, that's something that, you know, you can't have happen.
That's basic.
You know, I'm not trying to, you know, be like Psych 101, but what's going on? Where's your head?
Dude, I have no idea. Like, seriously, and again, this is what practice is for.
Right.
But then it happened in the game, right? And then you go, all right, so next time we see Tua, I'm assuming will be the third preseason game.
Right.
But those things cannot happen, man. That's just fundamental stuff. Mike, you seriously want to get benched? Like, you don't want to play?
Yeah.
Fumbling snaps.
And again, there's a lot of video out there, guys. You can check. D-Led's got some. We talked about it. Flick's got some as well. Of Michael Penix Jr. in seven. Again, all we can see is all he can do, which is the seven-on-sevens. Juwan Taylor at right tackle with the first team. Don't have any individual evaluations on the specific tackles and guards, we presume. If there's nothing about him, Paul starting or something like that, I guess he didn't do that.
Yeah, and that's good news. Look, if we're not reporting anything on a guy, it's good news.
Right, and apparently they've had some, I guess, who is it for the Colts? I guess Warren has a groin, as you would say, left practice.
Oh, their tight end?
Their tenant, Tyler Warren.
Oh, he's a dude.
Yeah, so as fantasy owners, stay tuned.
When'd you draft, by the way?
Tuesday before the season starts.
Okay. Yeah, because so you got time.
I don't know. I know some guys like to get it early.
Yeah.
I just think you go as late as you possibly. I know, if you want to have a party, that's one thing. You want to get your people together face to face. But we just, you know, the shenanigans, like, we stream it, and it's just easier. Everyone does the video and have fun and bust chops. But I always wait to the last possible second for injuries and everything else.
Yeah. It's interesting because some I'm already seeing a bunch of fantasy things, and I'm like, it's still too early. I'm with you. Right. Hey, man, let me give you a scenario, okay? And I want to lay this out because some of y'all are going to be like, that's impossible. It's not. Here's a scenario. Falcons are 2-3 after five games.
Okay.
Tua is your starter. He's completing 70% of his passes. He's got 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's averaging 290 yards per game. You leave him in there after five games.
Right.
Or do you make the change? And this is with the assumption that Michael Penix, again, has been cleared, but he's not played, and he's waiting. All right, we're waiting to see him. If you're going, that's impossible, or that sounds impossible. Those are his first five games of 2023. That's when he threw for over 4,000 yards.
Right.
Okay.
So at that point, it was 11 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Correct. Through five games.
Right. Which is good. That's 2-1.
And the thing about it is, with our schedule, Mike, you've brought this up. The first five games, it's a beast. It's a bear.
Look, Pittsburgh is on the road. You know, I know that they ended their season with a whimper, but that's still a really robust defense that's going to be getting after it. Carolina, guys, you want to laugh all you want about Carolina? They're beating us up the last couple of years.
I'm not laughing.
You know, and they get us inside, and Derek Brown and everybody else and all the pieces they've added. At Green Bay, you're going into Lambeau on a Thursday night. You know,
it'll be rocking.
For short turnaround for that game. At New Orleans off of that, Baltimore here. Those are your first five.
You think Lamar's going to come in here and lay down?
I mean, Lamar on that field turf.
Come on, man.
With all those weapons. You know, and again.
And that's a Sunday night game, isn't it?
It's going to be a lot of Ravens fans. It's going to be an epic atmosphere.
So I'm just saying, five games, if we're 2-3
I'll
and Tua is completing 70% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, five picks, and averaging almost 300 yards a game, I'm not making a change.
And then you get the word that Penix has been cleared.
Yeah.
Penix is cleared. So that's this is the argument I was having with some guys the other day. Now, Day-Day went and did the research. Thanks for the numbers. Those are great numbers. And look, even on a year where he got benched, he came in here and kicked our butt through all those touchdowns against us, right? Here at Mercedes-Benz.
Tua made us look like we didn't know what the hell we were doing. Right.
But I'm just saying, I mean, if that's what he's doing in those first five games, how do you bench him?
You can't. I don't think you can.
And that's why, I mean, and if, now, on the flip side, if he's missing snaps and he's overthrowing
but
guys and
easy.
He's throwing picks.
See, this is hard.
Right.
That's easy.
Right.
The easy thing is he's fumbling, he's doing things that make the decision easy. This is hard. Because when you do this, you better know that it's going to be better than this. Right. And I don't know if anybody right now knows that it'll be better than that if this scenario was to play out. Now, again, 2023 was one of his best seasons, and that's why we're taking those five games. But it's not impossible. He's already proven he can do this. If you knew Penix was going to give you 70% completion, and by the way, he's never done that. Not in his NFL career. I know it's short, but he's not done that. He's been below 65%. And give you this kind of production per game, then yeah, you go ahead and make the change because it's got to be better. The easy decision, Mike, is, dude, we're losing, and he done looked the part. That's an easy decision.
So that's where, right now, the Falcons scenarios could play out. That's where we're living. That's why, you know, it's sports talk radio. It's fun to have these hypotheticals, right? And we can't wait for the season to show that we're actually talking about the stuff that happens on the field.
Games, real
but
games.
These are, but, they, I mean, but as far as hypotheticals, I know coaches hate that. Day-Day throws out some really interesting scenarios. If we go 2-3 for those first five games.
You're living with that?
I think most Falcon fans feel we got a shot here, and you're going to roll the dice with Tua until he isn't doing those numbers. You know? I mean, this is a difficult schedule. I know it's hard because the schedule experts look at it and say, well, the winning percentage from last year. Yeah, but we have teams who are expecting to get back in it. Ravens weren't a playoff team by virtue of a missed field goal late in that game against Pittsburgh. We know what Green Bay is. We're going to see the Bears. We're going to see the 49ers. Tampa, Cincinnati, KC. That's the next five.
It's tough.
I mean, and that's another thing. I mean, maybe you'd like to bring, if Tua does have some struggles, maybe you want to bring a Tua in against a Bears defense, which is a little bit easier than going up against a San Francisco defense.
You mean Penix?
Penix. I'm sorry, Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I just think all of these, this first 10 weeks is, and it's literally survival. I mean, seriously. And I think if you can get to 5-6 wins, Mike, in that first 10 weeks, then you give yourself a chance to get to 9 or 10 wins, and then we can see where this thing takes us. But remember, this division, 8 wins has been winning this division.
Right. And we had a guy hit us up earlier on the text line was saying that the Falcons, this is coming from them, basically trying to prevent Michael Penix Jr. from injuring himself again prematurely.
That's what he said. Yep,
but, I mean, when you watch, and again, there's no one chasing him, I get that, but he's making all the football moves physically. We said this 2 weeks ago at practice. You know, he looks fine. In the middle, you and I chatting with Dave Nelson, he sprints because that's part of his rehab. He's going to do intermittent sprints, and he looks fine. So it is weird when we compare and contrast a guy. I know it's a separate injury, and it was only his first major injury, but Daniel Jones coming off an Achilles that happens a few weeks after Michael Penix is already out there, and we're still waiting to get that clearance from Mike.
Well, he's been cleared, according to the TV guy, right? Their play-by-play guy. He said Daniel Jones has been cleared.
Right.
And that's why I paused. I was like, that is a tougher injury to come back from. But to Mike's point about you've already had other injuries, bodies heal differently, and that's just where it is. All right, 404-726-0929. Text us and let us know what you think. And by the way, don't be a hater. You're not making a change either if those are the numbers.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no way.
And for instance, you know, guys, we get into it last year. Like, if you go back to last year's schedule, Mike did enough to win the first game of the year. The special team screw-ups, and Koo got cut. You know, there's certain things where Mike was looking good. The Carolina game, Mike wasn't so good. You know, I thought he did enough to win the Colts game in Berlin, despite some mistakes that were made. He throws a ball 50 yards down the field, puts it in Pitt's hands, he drops.
Didn't they run down our throats?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's why when guys get all enamored with Ulbrich, I say, you know, sometimes he doesn't stop the biggest weapons you got to stop, whether it was Jonathan Taylor or Christian McCaffrey. That's part of the reason why. How much have we improved our run defense off teams where teams ran through us like poop through a goose last year?
That was a big problem. So it's going to be interesting, guys. We'll keep you updated.
Right. But my point I'm making is if the defense isn't holding up, it's out of the bargain, but Tua is doing his, then you keep him out there.
Oh, yeah. Look, I this is why individual performances matter to a certain extent. Like, Kirby's right when he said today, I know you guys want us to throw the football down the field, but there's a lot that goes into a wide receiver getting the ball down the field. Protection,
right.
The throw, right?
Is the route run properly?
Absolutely. All this stuff, like, before we get to that. But at quarterback, like, you can be really productive and still be on a losing team. Because there's all this other stuff. Kicking game.
Well, look at all the, look at Joe Burrow a couple of years ago. Look at all the numbers the Bengals put up in the defense. Could they score
anybody.
42 and give up 45.
Great point. So that is – and look, if that's the scenario we're dealing with, then that's a whole different conversation right. Once the season rolls around. All right, your thoughts are welcome. You guys can find us on social media as well. ATL Bell 929. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. Follow the show, Dukes and Bell 929, and follow the radio station at 929 The Game. More on the Falcons. More coming out of practice as they are on the field. I think they're about to get off here by 5 o'clock, but they started this afternoon, guys. These are afternoon practices up there in Indy. Also, Grant's going to join us to talk more about the Braves. Mike had an interesting comment today about who he trusts less, who's more worthless when it comes to this Braves lineup.
Right.
We'll get into that much more, but what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, if you missed it at the end of the show yesterday, what's going on over in Arab, Alabama? You got coaches pretending to be on another team. Wait, that's a Michigan thing, Carl. And speaking of Michigan in the Big Ten, yeah, they might have back-to-back-to-back natties up there, but Big Ten, they are some awful people. We'll explain. Yeah, first, though, reality check for the Bravos, Carl, trending the wrong way. Get swept up there today. We're like 12 people in Minnesota. But they lose now and get seven first place games. They got the next three. They got to make up with the White Sox, Brewers, Dodgers. So seven games with first place teams on the heels of getting swept with Minnesota. Phillies are now five back and cut it to 4.5. They play the Marlins tonight up in Philly. So rough go right now. AJ Smith-Shawver gave up some earned runs, you know, some good and some bad, considering, you know, getting back in the show. Grant will join us at 520, but not good. And the bats are just brutal right now, not hitting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they did score some runs comparative to what we've seen the last few days. But I think Walt Weiss, you know, for him trying to figure out some shakeups in the lineup and what else he wants to do to try to spark this thing. And as we said, for those who might have missed it, Milwaukee just scored 22 runs. Now, they're not going to come out and do that again. It's an aberration. It doesn't happen all the time. But they are a very good club. And now we're about to go and see, Mike, how we handle this situation. But I didn't expect them to get swept in this series. I just didn't. The Twins are battling, but we said this. White Sox, right, they're in the mix. Obviously, Milwaukee's battling for the best overall record, all right, in the National League. And, you know, it's one of those deals where the Twins, they got the best of us, man. So we'll find out what Grant's thinking about this. But the crazy thing is, it's not pitching. It's hitting.
No, the pitching has been okay. Again, it's so funny because I heard Steak and Sandra today talking about, I'm going to bet the over in this game. Over? Yeah, it went over. Over was 8. 8.5. It went 10. So Steaky?
He might know somebody.
Mazel Tov. That's a good play right there.
He might know somebody.
I was yelling at the radio, over? What are you, high? Well, leave me alone. Anyway, that's coming up with Grant.
He's a professional.
Next hour. All right, man. A story we had at the end of the program yesterday. You can't make this stuff up. It's kind of like that Connor Stallion story, for those who remember the guy that they spent, you know, six figures at Michigan to get this guy access to other teams' benches to steal signs and everything else, and then the NCAA basically slapped him on the wrist over it. Harbaugh got a show cause, as Carl said, too big to fail.
That's right.
At Michigan. Awful people up there in the Big Ten. Meanwhile, similar but different. A now former, as in he got fired, Guntersville High School football coach named Jerry Fulks resigns after being arrested for public intoxication during the Arab High School football jamboree, which went down last weekend. According to the Arab police, Fulks, who was serving as associate head coach and defensive coordinator at Guntersville, approached officers claiming to be a member of the media to gain access to the Arab sidelines during the jamboree. Now, Guntersville is just a few miles down the road, and they got a big game coming up this weekend, for which Coach Fulks will not be available since he had to get fired by the board.
Right.
But anyway, so security's like, let me see your credentials. Oh, yeah, right here. And he apparently goes like, you know, he's trying to show. And security goes, sir, that's a receipt from Applebee's. Apparently, you had two margaritas and then you had two Bud Lights. but you can't get on the sideline. According to the article, officers suspected he was intoxicated, noting he smelled strongly of alcohol. By the way, I don't know if he had an Applebee's receipt. That was just a joke.
Yes, okay? Yes.
But anyway, he was smelling strongly of alcohol, attempted to flash a pass to get close to the field, which apparently was not valid. He was taken outside for a field sobriety test. Never good when you're not even in a car.
No.
And somebody's going to make you try to walk the line. Folks apparently blew significantly above the legal limit. And then he came clean and said, I'm actually a Guntersville coach, and I'm sorry. You just don't just get in the media and ruin my career. It did. Feel sorry for the guy. ARAP police arrested him for public intoxication, transporting him to the Marshall County Jail, spent the night, posted bond. City school board met in a special session the following day, took his resignation. Hopefully he gets his head right. Hate to see that happen, but, you know, again, maybe you don't try to sneak on the sideline.
Yeah, that's just not a good idea.
While you're wasted.
Not a good idea.
And by the way, I'm not sure if he went to Applebee's and got tuned up or he had a couple of beers out in the parking lot before he hit the jamboree.
I'm going to drink this bourbon. Then I'm going.
Hey, guys, you know what I'm going to do? I got a great idea. I'm going to see this Applebee's receipt. I'm going to make this into a credential. I'm going to laminate it at home. And I'm going to wear a lanyard. You get a lanyard, you get people looking at you like you belong. That's the key. When you BS your way on the sideline, act like you belong.
That's right. That's right.
And then if they call my bluff, we'll figure it out.
We're just going to put a piece of plastic over it, huh? Make it look official.
I'll keep it over there in Alabama. Just announced, I like this. I want to get your take on
this.
Third week in October, as you guys know, third Saturday in October, Bama and Tennessee agree to both wear the orange and the red.
Ooh.
So in 26 and 27, Alabama will be in the crimson, orange for Tennessee. And they haven't done that. Someone looked it up since 1970.
That's wild.
How cool is that?
That is. So it's usually the
Road whites for somebody, right? But predominantly white uniforms. But I like that.
I do too. Cool. I do too.
Nice. All right, man. Over in the Big Ten, Michigan, we've talked about the Connor Stallions. Coach gets got because he got hooked up with the girlfriend on the side. Now they're going to be no grades for freshmen. It's either a pass or fail. Generation P. Now, over in Penn State, over at Happy Valley, this drops on the Big Ten. Coke dealing fraternity. Somebody apparently already coined it Snow Paterno.
Oh, come on.
Leave
that man's name out of this.
No rim shot for Snow Paterno.
Pablo Pledgecobar.
Pablo Pledgecobar. Authorities told by confidential informant that a male using the nickname T-Rob selling large amounts of cocaine from the Delta Upsilon fraternity house. According to NBC News, we didn't get to this yesterday, so I'll break it down for you. Alleged drug kingpin T-Rob accepting payment. By the way, great way to get busted as a coke dealer. Pay for your cocaine using a Venmo account.
Yeah, you're creating a digital footprint.
Yes, so real criminal mastermind on this one. He and his buddy, you've seen the mugshots of these guys. I mean, they look like total nitwits. The other fellow student, the alleged supplier, Agostino Abatiello.
Oh!
Not that he's a member of the Nikki Scarfo crew in Philadelphia.
Might as well be.
Anyway, apparently he's part of Sigma Chi. I never liked the Sigma Chis. I'm not, the Greek thing, I don't know. There are some cool frats, but when I was a kid, my dad was a Pike. Just bring it behind the curtain here. My dad was a Pike, so I met with some of the Pikes, and I was going to pledge with FSU, and they were just dorks. Yeah. And they were just, it was just not a cool scene. And luckily I didn't, because they got in some big trouble, got kicked off of campus. But anyway, it varies. Maybe you had a good experience with your Greek, with your fraternity back in the day. But what the hell's going on? I mean, the Big Ten, they might get the Natty's Club, but there's some awful people up there in Big Ten country.
Cocaine. It's a hell of a drug.
And apparently they had the pledges wrapping the packages.
That was the kicker. That was the kicker. You're pledging, and it's like, hey, wrap this up. It's a kilo. Wait, what
that
are you
is not
about?
An eight ball, son.
What are you talking
Do it again.
About? That's
Can
the
I
kicker.
Just walk around naked instead?
I mean, like, you know.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah.
So they're paddling guys with the.
Look, and I can attest to this. Black fraternities, you went to an HBCU.
Right.
And I'm not putting the business out there, but there's been some stuff, all right?
It's different being online, Carl.
But cocaine?
I didn't see the cocaine when I was online.
I'm just saying, me neither. When I'm they just
raid,
like, cocaine?
I love this. They raid the frat house, T-Rob.
I'm your brother, I'm your sister.
What did Nino say? Am I my brother's keeper? Hell
yes.
No.
No, not in this case. Not in this case. I don't know if any Omega's going that far, Carl. I'll tell you that. Meanwhile, T-Rob.
No Kappas either, bro.
T-Rob, 23,
or Sigmas.
Allegedly resisted arrest when the cops went to the frat house. Thought the officers were his fraternity brothers playing a prank on him.
Yeah.
Until they tasered his drunk butt.
Not funny.
in the face.
Not funny.
He was tasered and taken into custody while the search of his dorm room allegedly turned over up to 8 grams of cocaine, almost 8 ounces of weed, more than two, by the way, not just blow, 200 amphetamine and dextra pills, according to the police report.
So they were doing it all.
But wait, there's more. Also had a .45 found in his safe above his mini fridge.
Well, just in case something popped right. off.
So again, and then the other part is there was one dad who's involved with this, who's an attorney.
Yep.
And apparently he got in there and tried to, I guess, cover up. I guess he's getting nailed for obstruction charges. I saw that on ABC last night.
No, it's a mess, man.
So the apple doesn't fall far from the bag tree.
I just, Mike, the whole thing, though, as a pledge, right, you're pledging. And you got to know the difference between cocaine yes. and what you're getting into. And at right. that point, I'm out. Like, I'm sorry, right?
Right?
And these kids are like, okay, what do you need me to do?
Right on. Hey, you see the fight that happened? I apologize. We didn't get to this yesterday. You and I got up on some tangent. But Wrigley Field, big brawl with the White Sox were in town against the Cubbies. You see any of this? It's going viral. I'm not trying to say that I was a tough guy, but you and I have been in enough scraps and growing up. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny when I see people on social media go, whoa, look at this fight. What a brawl. No, a bunch of fat guys who don't know how to make a fist, and they're kind of throwing wraparound rabbit punches. Anyway, a couple guys got – did you see the video for this, Oren? A couple guys are getting nailed, and yeah, everybody's overserved. There's a fat guy trying to cover up. And people are going – they're acting like this was like a WWE Battle Royal. To me, it's like these guys don't even know how to fight.
Yeah.
So I just saw it. It was, oh, my, a big brawl. Barstool was all over it yesterday.
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, and guess what? I've seen better fights in the girls' side of the locker room, man.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, it looked weak sauce.
I'll have to check it out. But no, look, the thing that bugs me about these stadium brawls is everybody does what? Take their phone
out. Get their phone out.
That's right. The crazy thing. That to me, it's like that is amazing.
Right.
But I guess that's where we're at right now.
Hey, man, what would you say if I told you that Waffle House has got a new idea that are about to drop? Tacos. Waffle House tacos. Is that something you'd be interested in?
Look, I like pretty much everything at Waffle House.
Me too.
So I'm not going to trip on that. Like I love Waffle House.
I saw the reaction yesterday on this, and guys, oh, that's gross, terrible, blah, blah. Like,
Look, you could have breakfast tacos.
Again, I get the Texas, was it Chris's Texas cheesesteak, extra meat, scattered smothered covered. That's my go-to. So if you took the Texas, cheese and all that and the meat and the onions, stick it in a taco, it's the same thing.
What do you think they do in Texas?
Steak and egg. Hey,
hello.
Steak
and
breakfast egg tacos taco, are just that.
Hello.
Corn tortilla, baby.
Correct.
It's the same thing.
So yeah. I saw the pushback on social media. I'm like, what are you? It's Waffle House. You're hungover late night or in the morning. You want some good grease. You get it in there with a taco, man. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm with that. Are they going to do it?
They're going to do it. So like apparently they're experimenting with it. And stay tuned if they're going to go with the mass launch on the tacos for Waffle House.
I'm with it. Now you got me wanting one.
Yes.
And or two.
Now, guys, take a get ready pill. 5 days away.
From?
The change. The greatest change in the history of fast food. It is an epiphany for Chris. I'm telling you guys, if you're a Chick-fil-A guy, you heard me talking about this. You'll do chicken sandwiches. We're going to get the waffle. Sandwich is finally coming.
Oh, it's going to 5 days from now?
It drops next week. Five. Wow. It drops next week.
Are you coming in here with one of those?
I'm going to buy out the store. I'm buying it for everybody. Day, Monday, I'm going down there. I'm buying it for everybody. Now, again, I told you the story. A friend of mine's in the supply chain. Got a chance from the local bakery that makes what the waffle component of the sandwich is. And it's unbelievable. I told you they bake the sugar and the maple flavor in. You don't even need syrup. Of course, you put syrup on, it's even better. And then the chicken sandwich in there with some bacon. Giddy up.
Mm.
Oh, it's on.
Okay. I can't wait to taste it. I know you've been talking about this for months.
I'm telling you. I mean, we had it. We went and created the sandwiches ourselves. No, I just can't wait. I'm not making any money off this. I'm just telling you.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen the future of fast food, Carl.
Okay.
This is the greatest sandwich in the history of fast food.
This won't be a limited item, though.
They're saying limited time from Chick-fil-A on their website.
Come on.
I think the demand will be insane.
Is this going to be like the McRib? They only bring it back every now and then?
It's like a barbecue on a bun. Chomp.
Okay. Can't wait.
Remember, was that
like a barbecue in a bun without the bones?
How do you have that ready? The best producer engineer in the business. How do you have that ready?
Oh, snap. No, they didn't. A boneless rib sandwich.
All right, man. Hey, sad news yesterday. This dropped at the end of the show. I got the news. But one of the great drummers you want to talk about, as they say, being in the pocket? And laying down a great groove, Frank Beard, a longtime drummer for ZZ Top, ironically the only member of the band who didn't have a beard, passed away at age 77. He had some health issues. Band's been touring without him, and they're losing members now. And I think, you know, once your band has lost two-thirds of your heart, your threesome, it's maybe time. But anyway, Frank Beard, loved the group. I was listening to ZZ Top last night all the way home. But to rest in peace. And that guy, the Tube Steak Boogie, man, I could listen to that stuff all night long.
They, many, many years ago, came on my show, and it was one of the best opportunities to just talk about the industry and the women they dated. It was a really cool deal, man. I was sad to see that too yesterday because they were all cool. They're cool guys. ZZ Top's right. Cool band.
So anyway, guys, Frank Beard, gone at 77. That's Guy Talk on a hump day.
Good stuff, man. Coming up, the latest on the Falcons. We're heading back to Indy. Oh, yeah. We're going to bring you the newest and freshest information
from a reliable source.
Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Don't chase me, bro. Don't chase me. Stop. I didn't do anything.